him many years now. I've known even his wife even longer. Sister Damaris Million attended my father's church for a short while. We were both just teenagers when we got to know each other. And then I've seen her grow in the Lord. I've grown in the Lord. Brother Million's grown in the Lord, and we've continued to remain friends. Brother Million's preached for us a few times now. He's not unfamiliar with this pulpit, but you might be unfamiliar with him if you're new to the church. Hallelujah. And I know you look around, you say, man, this is a short crowd. This is probably one of the smallest crowds we've had all year. There's a lot of sicknesses going around and things like that. But we know that there's purpose in this place. Hallelujah. And here's how I think, all right? I believe God's got a plan. And I believe God's got a purpose. So if I see less people in the crowd, all that means is that the chance that the plan and the purpose is for me, it grows. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because that means he's probably here to preach to me. You gonna let the preacher preach to you today? Hallelujah. Brother Million is your full-time at the church there in Cooper City under Pastor Mark Hadaball. Fantastic preacher. I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. How about we put our hands together, make him feel welcome today to our pulpit. God bless you, brother.
I love you, brother. Thank you so much. Love you. How many of you are thankful for your pastor this morning? Amen. Isn't God good? Praise God. I'm so thankful for the presence of the Lord that's here this morning. And to be amongst you all in the house of the Lord with the people of God in the presence of God, I honor you all and I'm thankful for you all. Amen. What a tremendous, tremendous presence that we feel here this morning. I'm so thankful and honored that I would be able to be here with Pastor Meehan and Pastor Aaron Meehan and his family. I am so blessed to call him friend. For the years and years we've known each other, I've known you pretty much ever since I came to the church at that college camp, back when it was called College Camp, amen, and back in 2011. And that was a monumental year for me because that was the year that I decided to give my life to Christ. And that's when I was saved. And as Pastor Meehan was mentioning that, you know, to wash away our past, our shame, our guilt, that was me. I had lived with that shame, that guilt, that tormenting in my mind, if I could say it like that. I had lived with that, but when I decided to give my life to God, and I said, I need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, my life changed forever, amen? Praise God, praise God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to John chapter 5, verses 2 through 9. Thank you. Once again, I give honor to your pastor and his family. It's so honored to be able to be here with them and call them friends. He said that we've been here a few times, and I think I was counting. We've been here four times we've been here to preach for you all. This is back at the old building. What did we used to call it? Tacos? Oh, our first time coming here, though, I believe Pastor Aaron was out of town doing something, and so he had had Brother Victor host us that weekend that we were there, and it was so great to connect with him. That was back in 2018. It's so great to see you serving here in ministry and seeing the Lord use you mightily. I give honor to you, sir. Amen. Amen. Of course, I give honor to my wife. How precious she is. She's beautiful. Amen. I'm so blessed by her, and whenever I get out of line, she's quick to smack me over the head with the chancleta. I'm just kidding. She's never done that. And I give honor to my pastor, Pastor Mark Hadaball. I'm honored to call him my shepherd, my pastor. I love him very dearly. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. Amen. Amen. This message that I preach today is going to be, for some of us, a very rudimentary message. Maybe something we've heard before, something we've been talking about all service today, Baptism Sunday. For some of us, it might just be a refresher, just inspiration, just something to keep in mind of, this is why I got baptized. For others, this is a word from God. And so I would just pray that you would keep your spirit open, be receptive, and respond to the word of the Lord. Amen. John chapter 5, verses 2 through 9. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Basically, as the waters were stirred, the first person to jump in got the miracle. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." He's saying that after the waters are stirred, this man is saying that I have no one to take me into the water. I can't move. I can't walk on my own. And someone always gets there before me. In verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. This is a very interesting portion of Scripture because really throughout the New Testament, we do see miracles. We see the miraculous works of Jesus Christ, but we don't really see anything like the pool of Bethesda where an angel troubles the water. That sounds like Old Testament stuff right there, like Jacob seeing angels ascending and descending from heaven in a dream. Like we really don't see that often, but here we see that the Lord was still moving in this miraculous work in such a physical nature. And this man was by this pool for 38 years, trying to be healed, trying to be delivered, trying to get a miracle, and yet every time the opportunity came, he was not able to receive his miracle. And Jesus looks at this man and says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Are you willing to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? And this man answered back and said, "I've got no one." I would imagine he's responding back to Jesus saying, "I have no way that I can be made whole. How can I be made whole?" And I want to preach for the next few moments on this subject, how to be made whole. How to be made whole. I believe that the presence of the Lord is here. I could feel his presence. I believe that the Lord is going to confirm his word with signs following. If you are in expectation that God is going to move in a miraculous way, why don't you put your Bibles down, raise your hands up, and one more time before we go into the preaching, can we just go ahead and pray? Pray for ourselves. Pray for the person next to us. Pray that God's word would go forth with boldness. Lord, we love you and we thank you. You are the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the great I am, the everlasting Father, the one who was and is to come. You are Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You are the peace in the midst of the storm. And so right now, God, I pray that you would move in a mighty and powerful way. I pray that revelation would be received today, oh God. I pray that the gift of faith be in operation. I pray that we would see miracles, signs, and wonders. And Lord, if there's anyone that's never been baptized in your name, I pray, God, that they would make the decision. Today is the day of salvation. Today, I'm going to give my life to you. And so in Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you for what you've already done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. Come on, why don't we clap our hands unto the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, church, and you may be seated. I got to say, that's pretty cool right there. I didn't give you guys that picture. That's pretty neat right there. That's awesome. I look official handing out bread, right? I didn't eat breakfast, so I'm looking at that. I'm like, well, how close is lunch? Praise the Lord. I think we've all said that, how close is lunch over here, you know? But there's every once in a while the preacher says, you know what, I just feel like I got a burden from God. I'm just going to preach and lay it down, and an hour and a half goes by, right? And everyone's all like, "Pastor, that's great, but my Lord, lunchtime. My Lord, lunchtime. The loaves and fishes, come on, that would be wonderful right now." So in my life, I have, like everyone else, gone through situations where it seemed like nothing was going my way. Just like the man over in the pool of Bethesda. Nothing was going his way. And man, I'm pretty sure, has anyone ever felt that way? Like, why can't I just get a break? Nothing is going my way. I feel like anytime I get a little bit of hope, something just destroys it all, and it's just like one obstacle after another. One step forward, 19 and a half steps back. Have we ever been there? Praise the Lord. Well, for the past couple years, my wife and I, we've been praying, God, we need a car. Last time we came here, we drove our 2003 Toyota Corolla, and it had like 200,000 miles. Transmission's a little rough, so you have to let it heat up a few minutes, and then when it's cold outside, praise the Lord, it feels like it's about to bottom out, and the car's about to shut off at a red light. Anyone ever been there before? Amen. And so we've been saving up. God, help us to save up money. We're praying, God, we like this car, we like this car, we like this car, but you know, Lord, it's the car that you want for us, that we want. We want the right car for us, not just, you know, I'd love to get me a Lexus, but I got Toyota money. So, Lord, I mean, I can pray for all these things, but, you know, above all else, just give us what we need, right? You know perfectly. And so it was around, I don't know, Christmas time this year, right? A year and a half is going by, almost two years going by. We're saving up. We had a lead on a vehicle about the end of last year. A sister from the church, she was selling her Toyota Avalon. I was like, yeah, Toyota Avalon, that's basically a Lexus, right? Basically, I mean, it's just, you know, it still has the Toyota symbol on it, but that's basically a Lexus. I'll take it, right? $3,500. Praise God, a Lexus for $3,500? 80,000 miles, all that. She just wanted to bless us, right? And then, you know, I take the car over to CarMax, make sure it's looked at and everything. They're like, It's a decent car, $3,500. Take it and run. Go for it. And then I go back over and I say, sister, they said it's good. We can go for it. She's like, you know, I just don't feel peace about it. I'm like, what do you mean? You're driving my Lexus right now. What do you mean you don't feel peace about it? She's like, I would feel bad selling you this car and something happening. I'm like, what's going to happen? It's a Toyota. There are two things that'll survive the apocalypse: cockroaches and Toyotas. There's only two things that'll survive. That's it. That car should outlast us. She's like, you know, I just don't feel comfortable about it. I don't feel like I can do this. I'm like, okay. All right, well, thank you, sister. God bless you anyway. We're praying for you. Pray that God speaks to you, you know. That's our call. I had a better spirit than that, of course, but you know how it is, right? I thought this was going to be a great opportunity, and now all of a sudden it's being taken away from me. We've all been there. We all act like five-year-olds every once in a while. We have permission. So about a week goes by. I get a call from Pastor Hattaball. Hey, do you know the closest dealership nearby? I'm like, well, where are you? He goes, well, we're looking for a dealership. We got to take this car over here because it just broke down on her. I'm like, the same car that I was going to buy? He goes, yeah, it just broke down on her right in the middle of the road. Like, she can't even drive it anymore. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess we dodged a bullet there, praise God. We would have not have made it over here today if we would have bought that car. So thank the Lord, he protected us from that. But here's the deal. I still got a 2003 Corolla. Like, I still had that. I was still dealing with that. I was still having to drive that vehicle. Then I get a text from my pastor just a couple weeks after that. Sends me a couple pictures of a car, and he just says, Merry Christmas. What? Merry Christmas. Okay, well, that's a little vague. What does that mean? What do you mean Merry Christmas in a picture of a car? Like, I'm going to need a little more clarity. So I called him. I could tell he was out somewhere, so he was talking very discreetly on the phone. He just said, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Tell me a little bit about it. It's a car. What else do you need to know? Well, let's start off with the make and model. You know what I mean? Let's start off with that right there. It's a Hyundai Elantra. I'm like, that's no Lexus. I mean, I prayed, God, you give us what we need, but I really just want that Lexus. I'd settle for the Avalon, you know. I'd settle for that. If it's Honda, I'd settle for the Acura, you know. But I was praying, and I was praying God's will be done. And Pastor just goes, Merry Christmas. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll figure this one out. Okay, what do you need me to do? He says, just go over, try to start the car, make sure it's good. Come to find out, an elderly gentleman who wasn't part of our church but connected to the church passed away. And he wanted to donate the vehicle to the church. He was a Jewish man. wasn't a believer, wasn't a Christian, but he was connected to the church and he had a good connection with our pastor. So he blessed the church with the car and said, "You church, you just do with the car whatever you want to do. If you want to bless someone with it or keep it, whatever you want to do, church, just I want to give it, donate to the church." Okay, so my pastor reached out to me. So I go over to the vehicle, meet the son who was the surviving son, and we're looking at the car, and I'm like, okay, well, I didn't pray for one of these, but praise God, maybe this is an answered prayer. I don't know. So I go up to the vehicle, doesn't open. He doesn't have a key. All right, so I call a locksmith to come over. They have to make a key. It's a keyless entry vehicle, so they make a key fob over here, $275. Praise God. Okay, here we go. We're starting to put some money in this car. That's not even mine yet. Praise God, you know. He comes over, makes us a key, opens the vehicle. I go to start the car. Doesn't start. Okay, so we jump the battery. Okay, he goes, man, your battery is dead. I said, don't you yell at me. Just start the car, okay, locksmith? Don't yell at me. So he starts the car. I drive the car around. I was like, it drives pretty good. You know, it's a decent little car, you know. Come to find out, it's a 2017 Hyundai Elantra. 43,000 miles. Well, that sounds a lot different right there, you know. it's starting to not sound so bad. So I was like, great. Well, we still haven't transferred the tag and title. It's going to take a process to do it. So I pull back over into the parking space it was. I turn off the vehicle. And I was like, let me just see if this thing starts up again. I go to restart the battery. Doesn't start. Car just won't start again. Like one thing after another. And so over like the next 6 weeks, we're trying to get it figured out. We're trying to go to this tag agency in this place, trying to get it transferred from over here to over there. And every time we do that, we're taking the son of the man who passed away. We take him out for lunch. Great guy. Wonderful. But it's like every time we try to do anything with this car, it's always an ordeal. It's an all-day event. And it feels like we're getting nowhere. It feels like as soon as I take one step forward, like I said, 27 3/4 steps back. You know, it's just crazy. Finally, after like 6 weeks, we got his title and his name. It's at the tag agency. We go to sign for it and everything. We start to process it and all that. And they're like, oh, well, unfortunately, if we do it now and bring the registration over, you won't have the car to Monday. Well, this was like last Wednesday. I'm like, ma'am, I got to go to Stewart this Sunday. I got to go to Stewart. I need a car to drive to Stewart. If I don't have a car, I'm not going. And so she goes, well, why don't you go to like a same-day tag agency? I'm like, and wait in that line? I've already been here like 7 hours already. I can't take this anymore. Why can't I just get a break? And so finally we're like, you know what, whatever, we'll just go. We'll just go and do it. No big deal. So we go over to the state tag agency, do a fast title over, get transferred from here to here to here to here to here. After all this transferring and whatnot, finally, the vehicle is in my name. Praise God. But wait, there's more. Because why not, right? We go to the vehicle, which is 45 minutes away from the tag agency. I change out the tag. I go to jumpstart the battery. It's not jumpstarting. Finally, we just finally managed to get it jumpstarted. I'm like, okay, now that the car's running, I'm taking it straight to my mechanic. We're going to have him look for it. Or look at it. I'm driving 5 minutes. I am about to get on the highway. And what do I see? You know that little temperature gauge that we never pay attention to in a vehicle? It was just creeping up and up and up and up. And all of a sudden, the car starts talking to me. It says, my engine is too hot, buddy. Pull over to the side of the road now. Car overheats. Why can't I get a break? Man! So I called my mechanic. He comes out. We try to jumpstart the battery. Come to find out, the battery only had like 6 volts going through it. That thing was dead as a doornail. I mean, it was rough. So we go over to the Sam's Club. Because the battery that was in the vehicle was from Sam's Club, and it was still under warranty. We go over to Sam's Club, look for a battery. We say, hey, can you get us a battery? They say, no problem. Pull up your membership. Okay, well, it's under warranty, right? Well, if you didn't buy the battery, and if it's not under the car or your account, we can't honor the warranty. Okay, of course, because more things have to go wrong, right, Brother Victor? Nothing can just go easy. That's just how life works, you know? And so we do that, and then we're talking to the man. I'm like, okay, great, how much is the battery? $200. Okay, praise God. Just give me the battery, and let's get out of here, and let's just see what happens, right? Well, as soon as he's checking out at the terminal, I'm about to put my card on the tap, and right before that, the screen goes black. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. My terminal just blacked out on me. You have to go all the way over to customer service. Now, I'm a Christian. I'm not a violent person. I try to be a nice person. I open the door for people. I'm the kind of guy that if I see an old lady crossing the street, I'll do whatever I can to go help the old lady, you know? You know, I'm the kind of guy that waves to the person in the center of the road asking for money. I don't just look away like that. I'll give them a wave, you know? But at this moment, I really felt like kicking something. I didn't want to kick anyone. I really wanted to find something that I could kick. But I kept my cool. I prayed, Lord, help me here. God, I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to your purpose, and I know this is going to work out in the end. Forgive me for the long story, but please understand here, this had to be how the man at the pool of Bethesda felt for 38 years. For me, this is a 3-month endeavor, okay, you know? But we go to customer service. I'm supposed to pay $200 for this brand new battery, and then the lady pulls up the screen. She goes, okay, that'll be $20. Interesting. Ma'am, I'm not one to take advantage of people. The gentleman over there said it'd be $200. Now you're saying $20. What happened? She goes, oh, we're only charging you for the core charge. Praise God. Okay, well, I'm thankful for that, but can we just confirm that's correct? I don't want to do anything dishonest. She goes back. A manager comes out. He comes out and says, yeah, not a problem. We'll just charge you the core charge. Praise God. So you know what I did? I just bought it for the core charge. $20 for a brand new battery. I saw the original guy coming out with kind of a mean face, so we just kind of walked off to make sure he's not going to say, hey, you better return that right now, you know? You just never know, right? So we take the battery, we go over to the McDonald's parking lot that my overheated 2017 Hyundai Elantra's parked in. We switched out the battery. I filled up the radiator, made sure there was fluid inside of it, filled it up, and we were good to go, right? We turn on the car, started up beautifully. Everything started to sound good. It felt good. I'm looking at the temperature gauge. It's staying stable. I'm like, how on earth is a battery the source of an issue of overheating? Hey, I don't ask questions when it comes to that stuff. Does it work? Praise God. Let's go. So my mechanic, we drive the car around the city a little bit for about 15, 20 minutes, just making sure it's good. Tires were all good. No lights on the vehicle. Everything was working fine. Car wasn't overheating. Finally, after all of that ordeal, I finally received a breakthrough, right? Praise God. I finally received a miracle to our prayer, and we ended up driving that car here this morning. Amen? Praise God. Now, I would imagine this. That the same thing that I was going through, the man at the pool of Bethesda was probably experiencing 25 million times more harshly than I was experiencing it, right? I was dealing with car issues for 3 months. You could possibly say up to 2 years, but more specifically 3 months dealing with this. And it was just like an issue, an ordeal, and just one thing after another, after another, after another. And this man at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years had been sitting there with no one to carry him into the water, no one to be there for him, to lift him up, and to be able to position him for a breakthrough. But it took one encounter with Jesus, when Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? And all God had to do was look at this man and say, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And I want to tell you today, all it takes is one word from God, and you can get your miracle. All it takes is one word from the Master, and you'll see the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise God. Come on, why don't we worship the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. See, I'm not one to brag and to make it seem like, look how blessed I am. I'm not like that. But I want to encourage someone today and let you know that if you've been waiting for a breakthrough for so many years, for such a long time, and you feel like it's just one hit to the stomach after another, one let down after another, one bit of discouragement after another, there's going to come a day where that tide will turn and you will see a miracle from God. You will see the blessing of the Lord. You will see the breakthrough in the midst of your circumstance. I just want to tell someone today, don't give up, don't give up, don't let down. Don't throw in the towel and don't quit, because God is going to send the answer. Woo! Come on, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. If he's given you a word, you can be sure that it's going to come to pass. If he's given you a promise, you better count on it coming to pass. If the Lord has given you a promise in your life, he will see it come through. So the question now, how to be made whole, right? I was made whole in my situation. In my situation with the car, right? I was made whole. This man at the pool of Bethesda, he was made whole. But the question is this, because we look at these situations, other people talk about it, and we look at scriptures, and it's like, it was just that easy. Jesus went up to him and touched him, and all of a sudden, bam, miracles start happening, right? Why can't Jesus just come up and touch me like that, you know? Lord, send me that sign. He still does. It just looks a little bit different because now we walk by faith. And not by sight. We serve a God that is able to do exceeding, the Bible says, and abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Jesus is still able to make us whole physically. He is still the healer. He is still the miracle worker. He is still the promise keeper. The man at the pool of Bethesda that had been sitting there 38 years, never seen the miracle happen in his life. He'd seen it happen in everyone else's life that went there first. But he had never witnessed it firsthand for his own life. Everyone else is getting a breakthrough. And yet he is just sitting there with no hope. No peace. No answer because he has no one to take him. He couldn't even crawl over himself. If he would have at least been able to crawl in his arms, he may have been able to manage to get his way through. But by the sounds of it, is he didn't even have the upper body strength to be able to crawl on his arms to get over there. That man had no hope. But it took one word from Jesus. And when Jesus showed up, his whole life changed. Here's the thing about the man at the pool of Bethesda. Even though he had no hope, he never left the pool. Even though he couldn't make it himself, he couldn't with his own strength get there, he never left the pool. He was always by the pool. He was always in proximity, right by the pool, just waiting. I don't know how it's going to work out, but maybe one day someone will have compassion on me and pick me up and carry me into those waters right after they've been troubled by the angel. He stayed faithful. He stayed consistent. He stayed by the waters. And if you've been feeling discouragement in your life, let me tell you, don't leave the waters. Don't leave the pool of Bethesda. If you feel like things are getting tough, don't leave the church. Don't leave your pastor. Don't leave the people of God. Stay connected. Stay faithful. Stay consistent in the house of God. And you will see the breakthrough. You will see the answer. You will receive the miracle. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. For so many years, I believe it was 8 years, she was deemed unclean by the Jewish people, right? She was deemed unclean, and she couldn't be out in public because of her bleeding issues. I won't get in specifics as to what that means, but women, you understand. And so for 8 years, she's having this issue. She goes to all these doctors and physicians and these healers and people that are supposed to be able to help her condition, and she finds no peace, no hope, no answer. It's like the drug addict that says, I can't live like this. I can't live like this anymore. I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with my life. Come on, we've all been there to some extent. We've all been in those situations where we'd say, I can't live like this anymore. And sometimes we feel like, I don't know what to do. I'm so discouraged. I've given up so much hope. But this woman with the issue of blood heard word that Jesus was in town and even heard about the multitudes following Jesus because he was the miracle worker, because he was a healer. And I would imagine her with her condition for 8 years feeling so weak and so frail is inching her way little by little over to Jesus. And as she gets closer, she's probably getting weaker and weaker to where she's on her hands and knees and she's crawling over and she sees the crowd standing around Jesus and she presses her way through the crowd and she finally sees the hem of Jesus' garment and right at the last minute is falling down and grabs Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And right at that moment, Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? Who touched me? I would imagine the crowd is all stepping away because they saw who touched him. They saw who it was. And they're all backing away. And they're pointing at this woman who's deemed unclean. Shouldn't be in public. Shouldn't be around people. But she didn't care. But they're all stepping back and they're saying, it's her. It's her. And at this moment, she's probably on her knees saying, what's about to happen? What's Jesus about to do? I already feel better in my body, but now I'm so humbled because everyone's pointing me out. I'm being exposed for being radical for Jesus. I'm being exposed for my passion and for my desire to see my life changed. And instead of Jesus looking at her and saying, how dare you touch me, you vile, unclean woman, he looks at her and says, your faith has made thee whole. Your faith has made you whole. It doesn't matter your circumstance, sister. It doesn't matter your circumstance. It doesn't matter what you've been through or what you're fighting right now at this very moment. Your faith can make you whole. If you would believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've got faith that the miracle's coming. I got faith that the breakthrough is coming. I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's coming soon and very soon. I'm getting my miracle soon and very soon. I'm seeing the answer to my prayer. Oh, soon and very soon. Come on, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Soon and very soon, the Lord who answers by fire, he will show up as God. He will come through in the midst of your circumstance. He will come through when it seems like all hope is lost. At the midnight hour, God will bust open those prison doors. Does anybody have a need that they'd like us to pray for right now? Anybody have a need? I saw a couple hands over here. Some of the sisters come around this sister over here, and maybe a couple of the brothers come around the brother. We're going to pray for them. And we're just going to believe that the Lord is going to intervene on behalf of your circumstance. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus, we come against any circumstance. We come against every issue. We come against any disease. We come against any tormenting spirits. We come against any bondage right now. And in Jesus' name, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. There you go. Your breakthrough is here. Your breakthrough. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Come on, church, we don't need to stand by and just watch. We can pray for our brothers and sisters. I would ask that you would all raise your hands over to this couple right now. God has brought them here for such a time as this. The Lord hath appointed them to be here at this moment. And God is getting the victory. Addicted to drugs, alcohol. I was arrested for the first time at 15 years old. I was arrested for the second time at 19 years old. And God looked at me and said, there is a future in this young man. And when I finally decided to get baptized in Jesus' name, God delivered me from all that drug addiction. He delivered me from all the circumstances, from perversion, from all those things. And I want to tell you today that if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and you've been fighting things, you've been going through the thick of it, and you feel like there is no hope in your life, all it takes is one encounter with the water of Jesus. The Bible says that he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so we want to make another appeal to the altar. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, we've got the water. We've got robes. We got everything. We don't charge you to baptize. Even if you have been baptized, as Pastor Meehan said earlier, he got rebaptized in Israel. If you have been baptized before and you feel like you need to just do it again as a moment of repentance, whatever it takes, right? Above all else, we want to make sure that you're going to be in heaven one day. And that when that day comes and we all go before the feet of Jesus, I want to be there and see you all. I want to see you there. I want to be there and I want to worship around the throne room of grace with you at my side. So if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, would you come forward over to Brother Victor over here and allow God to move in your life? Amen. Praise God. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, this is your service right here. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in the upper room, one accord, one mind, one accord, one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And it appeared unto them, the Holy Ghost appeared unto them, like cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each and every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 10, we see them receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost for speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Acts chapter 19, they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They speak in tongues and prophesy. It's a pattern in Scripture. And then we even look in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 22, I believe it is, with stammering lips and another tongue, the unknown tongue, will he speak to his people. For this is the rest, the comfort, the refreshing. This is the rest where the weary rest. And this is the refreshing. And if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, this is your service. You can come forward to this altar. We'll pray for you as